Thank you so much, Pastor, for inviting me to speak today and for that introduction. And I just want to give a shout out to my mom and my mother-in-law who are on the Zoom. I can't see them, but they are there. Mother's Day. It brings up images of flowers, Sunday brunch, and finding that perfect card for mom. It's a cozy, flowery, and lovely day when we honor our mothers for their love, support, and endless sacrifice. Mom is often the only person on earth who loves us unconditionally, just as we are. But for many people, Mother's Day is a difficult or even painful day. For example, people whose mothers have passed away. For people who didn't have such a nice mother. For people who are estranged from their kids. For people who have strained relationships with their mothers or kids. For people who lost their kids to disease or something else. For people who miscarried a baby. For people who are unable to conceive. For people who decided to have an abortion and still grapple with the decision years later. For people for whom the biological clock has run out. For mothers who have demanding careers and feel every day like they are failing at both jobs. For people who are stepmothers and not quite considered to be mothers. For people who don't fit into the gender binary and don't really feel like society recognizes their motherhood. Put together, these categories include a lot of people. I would argue most people. There are many, many people who don't really fit into the box of motherhood as depicted on Mother's Day. Mother's Day forces people to come face to face with societal definitions and expectations of mothers and motherhood and how we in society should relate to and treat them. When you get down to it, many of the people left out of the mix are people who don't comply with heteronormative, traditional, and patriarchal versions of womanhood. If a person doesn't fit neatly within this category of mother, they are often left feeling like they are not enough or that they have failed somehow in life. So given the fact that this is such an emotionally problematic day for so many people, it begs the question, who the heck came up with this idea in the first place? Well, in the late 1800s, a lady named Anna Jarvis campaigned to create a holiday to honor her mother. Her mom was a social justice powerhouse, a suffragette, a peace activist, and a creator of Mother's Day work clubs in which women addressed community health problems. Mother's work days were organized to collect trash and undertake other projects to improve local conditions. Anna Jarvis, along with another suffragette, wanted to take this concept and expand it to create a Mother's Day for Peace, which aimed to harness the power of women to influence international questions, in particular, war. Jarvis had the belief that women, and especially mothers, were best suited to bring their sons and husbands towards a goal of peace. For them, Mother's Day was visualized as a vehicle to elevate women beyond the household and beyond subordination to men in society, and to utilize the very important role of mothers to influence broader societal and geopolitical issues and to create a better and more just world. By 1914, the campaign was successful, and Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation making Mother's Day a holiday. Predictably, merchants and retailers saw the commercial opportunity in the holiday and relentlessly promoted it. By the 1950s, Mother's Day had essentially become a floral and greeting card selling bonanza. The holiday strayed so much from the original conception that Anna Jarvis spent the rest of her life protesting Mother's Day. and was even arrested for doing a demonstration against the holiday. In essence, Anna Jarvis had intended to create a radical and revolutionary Mother's Day that elevated the societal role of women beyond the box that society had put them in. But somehow that concept was taken over by capitalistic interests. And to that end, by the 1950s, mothers were essentially put right back into that symbolic box. Now, this isn't a history or an anthropology class, it's church. So let's see how Jesus related to his mother to get some direction as to how we should view mothers and motherhood. There are roughly about four stories about Jesus in relationship to his mother in the Gospels. Number one, about Jesus going missing during childhood during the Passover in Jerusalem. And his parents were looking everywhere for him for days. When they found him, his mother said, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? Why are you searching for me?" Now, I'm pretty sure that I would get in a lot of trouble talking to my mom like that after going missing for several days. It's a perplexing story, to say the least. The second story is the wedding in Cana. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." To which Jesus replied, "Woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come." Now, this term woman comes across as a bit impolite in English, but the term gyne in Greek is considered a respectful term, which Jesus uses several times in the New Testament. Jesus uses it to address the Samaritan woman at the well. He uses it to address Mary Magdalene. Jesus also uses this term again on the cross when he gives responsibility of his mother to James, saying, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." So Jesus uses a respectful term with his mother, Mary. Yet it is a very unusual way for a son to address his mother. It's not a term that shows filial devotion at all. It's a term that, again, I would likely get in trouble using a distancing term like that with my mother. It's a term emphasizing a new symbolic relationship with family, and it marks a shift from a hierarchical parent-child relationship to a more spiritual one. So Jesus loves and respects his mother, but he is not reinforcing a Mother's Day-like sentiment. He seems to be subverting these roles and familial relationships. This is reinforced in another unsettling comment by Jesus in Matthew 10:35, in which he says he comes to turn father against son and mother against daughter. You can also file that verse away as one of my least favorite things Jesus said. Other unsettling mother comments made by Jesus. In Luke 11, when the woman in the crowd shouts, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth," to which Jesus replies, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." And in Matthew 12, when Jesus is told by his mothers and brother that his mother and brothers are waiting for him, he asks, "Who is my mother and brothers?" It's whoever does the will of God is my family, right? So just like the comment at the temple when he got lost as a kid, if you read it more carefully, Jesus is stating that his mother is indeed blessed and honored, but he values her spiritual characteristics and her relationship with God above all else. When we read these passages, we almost want to ignore them because they are so perplexing and sound so cold. But Jesus is teaching us to keep God at the center of our family relationships and to not fetishize motherhood and create a cult around mothers. Jesus would likely be standing with Anna Jarvis at the anti-Mother's Day demonstration. And as we see in the reading, Mary gets the memo and understands this spiritual principle. The scripture says rather than getting mad at Jesus when he calls her woman, she rather treasures all these things in her heart. This is a decidedly radical and revolutionary viewpoint that Jesus is proposing that turns social hierarchies and conventions and even the patriarchal system itself on its head. This viewpoint doesn't aim to undermine women or mothers or motherhood, but rather it aims to blow apart the societal box that we referred to earlier, the one that honors a particular kind of motherhood and that puts women in a box and causes so much consternation, pain, and regret for people who don't quite measure up and fit into that box. So where does this leave us with regard to Mother's Day? Are we being bad followers of Jesus when we reinforce the societal box of motherhood that is rooted in patriarchy and a Mother's Day that is steeped in capitalism? It's a good question to ask yourself. I mean, we are definitely commanded to honor our father and mother. So by all means, why not honor our mothers today on Mother's Day? But maybe we can consider transforming this day and every day into one in which we honor mothers and anyone who gives birth to God's kingdom here on earth. People of all stripes, races, colors, creeds, sexual orientations, and yes, genders. And with the redefinition of this day inspired by Jesus and Anna Jarvis, I say, we honor all of you, including our mothers, who make daily sacrifices and work tirelessly to give birth to a more loving, kind, supportive, peaceful, and just world. And to the people who feel pain, regret, or feelings of being less than on Mother's Day, Jesus' radical and revolutionary message to you is that your value does not come by fitting into any societal box. You are boundless, and your value and worth comes from being a child of the Most High God. You are worthy. You are wanted, you are prized, and you are loved unconditionally by your heavenly parent, just as you are. Amen.